It's Tuesday, March 5th, and the Bucks have just 6 weeks left in the regular season. We'll see who rests, who plays, what's going on there. Also, Pau Gasol and Eric Bledsoe signed on the dotted line. We'll give our reaction to those deals. To the NFL, the Combine wrapped up this weekend. We have a ton of hot takes to get to, and also we have some thoughts on certain players Packers could get at number 12. To the Brewers, we give our thoughts on the over-under at 88 and check in on spring training. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of Tap in the Keg podcast episode
326. How's everybody doing? Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. Happy March, or also known as Extended February, whichever one you choose to prefer.
Yeah, certainly is here, that's
yeah,
for sure.
It's a little chilly outside, but we're ready to give you the fire, as I said on Daily Tap. I think that's my motto now until it gets warm outside. You know, cold outside, hot takes inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. So, Mitch, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, just trying to stay warm, you know?
You bet.
I can't believe it, but... You know, it's been. I'm not surprised it's going to be an extended winter.
We're supposed to warm up a little bit this weekend. Not to get on my Drew Burgoyne game here, but yeah. So we'll get there. We'll get there. It'll be all right.
It's going to take a while.
It will. I mean, it was a cold shuffle for those who are out. And then I doubled down and went to the Marquette game and somehow had 8 beers.
Just all of a sudden looked up and.
Kind of was one of those. Hung out with my buddy Doze after the game, our friend, and friend of the show, I should say. I will say, if I ever had like power in the city of Milwaukee, I'd make it a requirement that if you're a bar who I wouldn't say is like, you don't have to be like a sports bar, but like you need to know like the fucking sports schedule beyond just like the local teams playing.
Yeah.
Like, so we're at a bar after the Marquette game, which was a disaster of a basketball game. We talked about it.
Yeah, those guys must have shuffled or something.
Oh, yeah. There was, not great. I talked about that on the Daily Tap yesterday. You can go back and listen. But we're at this bar, and it's like middle of the afternoon. There is a good basketball game between Michigan and Maryland. And the Honda Classic is like a 6-way tie for first place. So you had Rockets Celtics, which Rockets were winning most of that game. But they guess what they turn on? So they first of all had the Marquette game on. That went dark. So then it's like, yeah, I don't know. It was like some bullshit FS1 show. Guess what they turn on?
Where was this?
Oh, I haven't named the bar yet.
Oh, sorry.
But I will. It was the tavern. It was the new place at Turner Hall.
Okay. Literally no idea.
Brewer spring training.
Oh.
Cause that's what people care about in early March is the Brewer spring training games.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a great look.
I guess. I can see it. Certainly if you don't know better, that's
no,
for sure.
I just think you need to have one person on staff at almost every bar.
Well, I mean, we had to ask people to put on the Bucks game on Saturday.
Right? On Wednesday?
On Saturday.
I did. At Club Brady?
No, at Slate.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I had to like, that's right. It was on two TVs, but none of them were great angles for you or I. So
oh,
well, I had to put them
you.
On another one.
Wow,
that's what it was.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah. But that, and Doze brought that up.
That's an extreme situation.
I mean, there's a lot going on. Bodies were flying everywhere.
There's two bartenders and 100 people in the
bar.
There
was that girl who wanted to have sex in the bathroom. That was wild.
Yeah.
That's not for our podcast. But if you want that story and you know us, just send a DM or text us. Tell that one. I think that the best part was, which I don't know if you knew or I can't remember if I told you, but I gave her boyfriend shit at Brick 3 afterwards.
Yes, I was sitting right there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oy. Chucky was a little drunker than he thought he was,
I guess so, because I was sitting right there and, you know, Chuck was trying to, I wouldn't say pick a fight, but it was.
I was beaking a little bit.
There was definitely some words.
People were feisty with me a guy got mad at me for elbowing him at Nomad. No, I don't know what. I don't know why everyone hated me last. It might have been the Patagonia.
Well, you're just, I don't know. You're a large human, Charlie, and sometimes you just sometimes a quick nudge is maybe a little bit bigger of a blow than you think. But, I don't even know what was going on there either.
Me either. I mean, at that point, though, we were already pretty deep in our cups.
Yeah, that was an unnecessary Bucks, trip anyway.
The Bucks had already lost to the Jazz, and we were just sort of there. Right. So speaking of the Bucks, they finish up their West Coast road trip tonight. We're taping this Monday night. We'll see how they do against Phoenix. They're 13-point favorite. Everybody's a go. The Suns are a complete dumpster fire. I don't know if you caught the Kevin Arnott's piece today about all the dysfunction in the Suns, about Robert Sarver, who may be the worst owner in sports.
Yeah, I mean,
like, he makes Jimmy Haslam, I think, look like a child.
I didn't read it, but I didn't know he wrote it, but. He's not the first person to write on sort of the dysfunction. You had the one lady at the town hall meeting.
Yeah.
The old lady.
Doris.
Who said he's so tight he squeaks.
Yeah.
That's that lady.
Yeah.
That was good. So, I mean, obviously it's well known that Robert Sarver is not a good owner. And
it's the point where Woj is like, the NBA might make him sell the team. The NBA might be like, you got to get out. Like,
really?
Woj had that like 2 weeks ago. Was like, the league is concerned about the Suns. Because it'll be the fourth straight season they probably lose under 20. They win under 25 games.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather do that than what Detroit or Charlotte or, you know, whoever has done.
Hey, man.
But I know at some point as a league, you have to kind of start to nudge them, like, do something.
Right.
You know, you can't be terrible forever.
Well, and like Detroit, Charlotte, and Orlando, say what you will about how good they are, and I'd throw Brooklyn in that mix too. All of them are really hungry to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're all extremely hungry. I mean, the run Detroit's on is incredible. Detroit is now the sixth seed.
I'm saying as a fan.
I hear you.
But I'd rather be getting a top four pick every.
But they haven't done shit with it.
I know.
I mean, they, you know.
Well, the problem is Devin Booker's not that good. I mean, he is. He's a scorer. That's
but
it.
But he's it. That's it. He's
DeAndre Ayton's been kind of, underwhelming, right?
I think,
right?
I'd rather have Marvin Bagley, Luka, or Trae Young.
Probably.
Out of those guys. I mean,
they should have took Luka, and I said that all along, but they weren't going to.
Because Sarver didn't think that there was a marketability, and, you know, Sarver still thinks that it's 1995,
mm-hmm.
and the way they run their organization is terrible. So, yeah, it's an interesting time to be in Phoenix. I thought it was a nice coincidental jab that Eric Bledsoe signed his contract in Phoenix, mm-hmm. and Gio tagged it on Instagram that he was in Phoenix, Arizona. Just wanted to make that known.
Bledsoe did himself. I didn't see that, but it's a nice touch.
That's
classy touch.
A little patty shade there from Bled.
For sure.
And so,
but we also got the details of his contract as well, and that final year is only 25% guaranteed.
John Horst is a wizard, baby.
So, yeah, I mean,
John Horst, I think what John Horst said to him is, says, look, we can give you this deal. This deal will ensure us that we'll bring back Middleton. We'll bring back Giannis. We're going to try our best. We think they'll come back. We think they're going to come back at this number. He might not have said it to Bledsoe directly. He might have said it to Rich Paul,
mm-hmm.
but said, look, this is why we want to do it, because we think and everything that it looks out is that the Bucks might have to go hard cap to get Lopez signed next year.
Do it.
But it would be a 1 year thing. It doesn't look like it would be multiple years.
That's probably okay too.
And I think Horst and his crew are doing a really masterful job handling the salary cap and balancing it out. And, you know, obviously the Bledsoe thing caught us off guard, but his attitude towards it was, I mean, how can you not love that? I mean, as frustrated as you can get with Eric Bledsoe, and the whole Bucks fan base, all sometimes we want as Milwaukeeans is to be loved and for people to understand what it's like to, like, be one of us. And I mm-hmm. think Eric Bledsoe gets that.
I think he's done I think he gained a lot of fans over the weekend, you know what I mean?
And
he went out and had a great game against the Lakers right after the reports of the signing. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he's – I'm assuming Rich Paul's in L.A.
Yeah.
So the Bucks were in L.A., and it just kind of was one of those things where it's like, I'm sure they had lunch or something, and we're like, let's get this done.
Yeah, I'm sure there was conversations, whether it was at, like, All-Star Weekend or prior to that, where it's like –
Yeah, that too. Probably.
We have an idea, and they obviously kept the –
They probably kept the lines of communication open.
Yep.
Since that's a good point. They probably did a lot of the groundwork over the All-Star break. And, it's really – like I said, it's really a 3-year deal.
Right. It's incredible.
Which is about what, you know, it's a 3-year, like what, it'd be $55 million?
Yeah.
$60 million maybe, which is about what, you know.
And you can get out, then you can get out of it in that when Bledsoe's 32 and he, if he doesn't have the same speed, the injuries start acting up again. I mean, he's been a very healthy player for the Bucks. He had injury issues in Phoenix and in LA. But that hasn't been an issue for him thus far.
Well, and for the minutes are probably down too.
Yeah.
This year, certainly.
Right. And you, I mean, I don't know how much you've bragged on your own Twitter feed or on the radio, but like you called this, man. Like you said that, and I've said it, I've screamed it from the mountaintops. Let's see how Eric Bledsoe does with a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that he did well. Now, I thought Doris Burke sort of over dramatized the sort of like Budenholzer told Bledsoe, like, you have to play harder, you have to do this, and like, this is how he responded. Like, I don't know if I ever heard that. Like, I haven't, like,
yeah, I don't know.
Velasquez, name, all those guys, Pittman, they all do a good job where it's like, I feel like that story would have got out
I don't know why Eric Bledsoe's not the kind of guy. He plays hard all the time, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
I guess he has an occasional checkout game.
Yeah. And like, I love Doris Burke. I think Doris Burke does a great job. But yep. I think she may have misinterpreted a story because I think what it mostly was like was probably Bledsoe, like you would at any job. And if you're looking for feedback, and Bledsoe probably asked Budenholzer, why do you think I'm not an all-star?
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly he was upset about that because he took D'Angelo Russell to the cleaners. He took Bradley Beal to the cleaners. He played with a ferocity in those two games against two all-stars. And I think Budenholzer gave him really honest feedback and said, this is what I want you to work on, and this is what you should work on to be an all-star next year. And Burke, I think, misinterpreted that to say, he challenged Bledsoe to be better. It's like, nah, he just gave him feedback like any other boss
and
would.
Advice of what a good coach does. Again, you've had an empty bag of a coach for how many years?
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, one season with Bledsoe, you know, 3/4 of a season, whatever you want to call it. And now you have a good coach who gets literally like the absolute most out of every player.
Yeah.
And it's worked out. So, I mean, we'll see. And it's, you know, not that bad of a contract when you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years was a little scary. I mean, the money was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 17.5 average annual. It sounds like it is going to go up, you know, 10% per season or whatever. Until that last year where it's 19.3, but only 3.9 guaranteed or something like that. So.
Exactly. And
good deal.
And so now it moves on to whether it's Middleton or Brogdon, and I don't know who goes first there and what you look at. The Brogdon thing, I think, is really scary because you worry about a team like Orlando or a team like Charlotte or one of those teams who just needs one extra body to get them over the hump, and they say, fuck it, we're going to blow out our salary cap. Or a struggling team like a Suns or a... You know, Wizards. Not Wizards, bad example.
So, but, like, he gets an offer sheet. Does he have to sign it?
The Bucks have 7 days to match it. And
right,
I think
we just talked about how shitty the Suns are.
So that's really interesting.
So if they go to him, does Malcolm have to sign the offer sheet?
I don't think so.
I mean, he has to have interest.
I think he has to have interest. I think they have to mutually agree to that offer sheet.
Right.
So, like, the Suns are
the
like,
Suns can't just go, like, we want him.
That's not how it works. No. They have to mutually agree to, like, hey, we're going to do this deal.
And if you're Malcolm Brogdon, it's all about getting money. So, you know. He's not necessarily that kind of guy, but I'm just saying that's what this is about. It's pro sports. So even if guys don't necessarily want to leave their current situation, they're going to go get that contract and then hope their team matches.
Right.
And if they don't, it's probably okay, too.
They have 7 days to match, and it's...
I would think that it would take a ridiculous amount for the Bucks to not match.
Right. Yeah,
like $25 million a year or something like that.
Yeah,
I think they go up to 20 probably with Malcolm.
I think with both Middleton and Brogdon and before with Bledsoe, I think they had a number in mind. I think they had a number in mind and they know what that number is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting. The Middleton thing I think is fascinating. I think I know where you stand. I know where I stand. We both are on opposite ends of this, and it's
not necessarily.
Yeah, he, well. Yeah, I mean, you were ragging him on Saturday night. And he had
that's what I do because it's fun.
He had 29, 9, and 6. I mean, yeah. So
cost him the game, though, and with like three straight possessions.
Right. I mean, he.
But Giannis also missed free throws.
But right. And I think we both said after that game that if they have either Bledsoe or Brogdon, they probably win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Pat Connaughton just got sunned.
Right. And I think this goes back to like how Budenholzer is going to, you know, deploy a resting strategy, and will there be a resting strategy per se? I think he might have got a little too cocky. Like, he just kind of swang his dick a little bit, which he's like, well, we've already won three straight on the road. Like,
I think they followed the Charlie Trichler and said, we're probably going to lose this game anyway.
Yeah.
So let's just see what happens if we need to throw this gigantic lineup out there.
And let's see how it does. And yeah, it did really well.
I mean, they started each half with that lineup, right? Yeah. And they went on big runs with that lineup.
Yeah, it'll be really fascinating to see if they deploy that lineup more and more. And maybe you're right. Maybe that's it. They said, fuck it. We're going to lose this game. We're going to just try something because we want to see if it works. And I can play mad scientist, me being Mike Budenholzer, and say, all right, let's just do this. And maybe that's what there are going to be certain games that pop up. You know, you have a back-to-back with San Antonio coming up next Sunday.
Correct.
You have and then you 3 and 4 nights in New Orleans the following Tuesday. So you do have those days where maybe you can play around with a few things. There are still games that matter. Like, you still have two more with Philadelphia, which is upcoming in two Sundays from now.
Mm-hmm.
But like there are other ones. I think you still want to beat the Lakers' ass, especially after LeBron just walked off the court like a baby back bitch.
I still haven't seen that, but I heard about
it. It's whatever. I mean, look.
Well, he likes attention.
LeBron,
so.
Yeah, he's the theatrical. You know, that's all he is. He's the king, but he's also a dramatic king.
Yeah, like, he's the drama king.
I mean, like, look, people have been pointing this out. Like, he always lives for the dramatics. He always lives for the theatrics. It's part of his game. That's part of who he is. It's what drives so many people who don't like him crazy.
Yeah, he definitely. Yeah, he likes the attention. And you know, the Lakers, I was just thinking about this too on the way in, like the Lakers, them being at or below 500 is just great radio fodder.
Oh, how amazing is it that the Lakers and Celtics are playing each other next week on this Saturday on ABC?
Is it the primetime game? Wow.
Unbelievable.
They aren't going to be able to control themselves.
Oh my God, it's going to be so bad.
National TV, Saturday, the takes that day.
Oh my God, it's going to be out of control. It's going to be so much fun. That there's a lot of good college basketball on, so you don't have to exactly watch that. You got Duke, North Carolina, Michigan, Michigan State. Like, you got really good college basketball on, so you can just kind of ignore that noise. But
Duke, Carolina.
You bet.
Nice.
Will Zion come back for it? People are asking.
He probably won't play until the tournament.
He might not. I don't know. I don't know yet.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. We don't need to go
playing the games that matter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe come back for the conference tournament if you can.
I think the ACC tournament you'd want to come back for. Yeah. Because Duke would, if they were to get swept by Carolina and then, like, lose in the semifinals in the ACC, they might not be looking at a one seed. They might be looking more at a two seed. But we'll probably dive into college basketball more next week with there. But staying with getting us back on the Bucks, you know, Paul Gasol comes over. He gets bought out. Apparently, there was a lot of texting going on between him and Nikola Mirotic.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that Mirotic actually plays for the Spanish national team, even though he's Serbian, right?
He's from one of those, like Montenegro or one of those Eastern European countries. But for some reason, he has like Spanish citizenship
he's a dual citizen.
I think he's fluent in Spanish and everything.
Yep.
So, they seem to be really tight. And Powell, I actually just watched, he did a little interview with Katie George. I watched it before we're taping and kind of got a little excited in a way, just because like, I don't expect much from him, but I just think that like the way he talks and like to hear him talk about things like, you know, I know what it's like to win a championship. It just kind of, you know, gets you excited for like the stretch run and the postseason.
Right, exactly. He's an ultimate clubhouse guy.
He's
not a guy that's going to shake the boat too much. He loves Mirotic. I'm sure him and Giannis will get along, obviously, with the international flair that those two guys have. And I definitely like what Gasol brings to the table. Yeah, I'm not expecting much. I'm fine with, I think he just has a combination of three things. The championship pedigree, as you mentioned, the fact that he knows the system, and he's an insurance policy if need be.
Yeah, and the Bucks, obviously, as we just touched on, seem to have this ace in the hole of going big to where, you know, you almost might need that extra big guy.
Right.
Even though, and I guess, you know, we're not going to trust DJ Wilson, unfortunately.
No, and that's been made crystal clear by.
Well, and I was going to ask you before, like, do you have any issue with this affinity for Ersan with Coach Bud? I mean, it's just like, the dude is not good.
I think he's
playing crunch time, and
I think there has to, at some point, there has to be a, I feel like DJ Wilson needs to have
another chance.
Yeah, another chance. Yeah. I don't want to have Ersan get hurt, but if he got hurt, I don't know if that would be the worst.
Well, Ersan getting hurt was the first thing that gave DJ his chance.
It unlocked DJ. And I just think that the Ersan love is very similar to like Craig Counsell and Hernan Perez. And you were like, why does Hernan Perez keep getting opportunities and keep getting chances in big games? And like, why are they rolling with a guy like him? And sometimes Counsell will be proven right. And a lot of times it'll make you want to rip out your hair.
Mm-hmm.
I just, Ersan hasn't been able to hit a consistent three for really
all season.
Season.
Everybody was hitting him the first couple of weeks, but he's one of the guys that's,
you know,
sort of,
yeah, he does play tough defense, but there are games where he looks overmatched. I mean, yes, he was a reason they won on Friday, but he looks so out of it in the first half. And it's like, if it's going to take him a fucking half to get it fired up, then we got a real problem here. Mm-hmm. And we got an issue. So we'll see. He's Bud's guy, though. I mean, that's Bud's dude. And so something that Bud knows that we don't. And I think we're just going to have to grin and bear it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it was a big topic Friday night, Aaron.
Totally.
I noticed on the Twitters.
No
so.
Doubt. I definitely had a lot. I said I want him out of this fucking game, I think, at one point. So, I mean, it's not anything to shy away from. With Andrew Bogut now looking like he's going to sign the Warriors, do you have any regret?
I laughed at that when I heard that.
Do you have any regret that the Bucks signed Powell over Bogut?
No,
I don't either.
No, I mean, no.
I know Bogut's apparently played really well in the Australian League, but first of all, what's the Australian League? How the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's getting better, but I mean, you're still getting.
It's like going off in China, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like those guys who
probably
go to China.
Even less impressive.
Those guys
who
go to China and get buckets, and it's like they come back to the NBA. I think Bogut will be useful, but like. He does not fit the system. If you that checklist we just brought,
how about the Bulls not buying out Robin Lopez?
It's Bulls, man. That's Bulls, man.
I mean, there's no reason for a team to buy a guy out, but
although I think Bogut would have probably chokeslammed Embiid, it's a good thing that he's not a member of the Sixers because, you know, Boban. Embiid and Bogut is a very, very big guys. Those aren't just big guys. Those are guys that can like hurt you, like and beat you up throughout a 7-game series where your body takes a toll going into the lane.
Well, which is another reason
guys.
why Powell is a good insurance policy because you're gonna probably need him.
Yeah,
at some point. I mean.
And he'll give you five fouls. I mean, he's gonna challenge you at the rim. He's gonna get in on rebounds. He's not afraid of anybody. He's seen everybody.
And
Powell
is like very dramatic on the court.
Oh yeah.
So like he'll flop or he'll do what he has to do to benefit the team.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We have quite an international flair now with the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Spaniard, Eastern European, Greek, Turkish. We're
no more Aussies.
Shot. It's too bad.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Too bad. But yeah, we'll see. I mean,
they both weren't very good. Let's be honest.
No. Nah. So, well, we'll see. Bucks head back home to play Indiana on Thursday. That should be a good game.
TNT game.
Imagine Bucks Pacers. Taste of the Midwest.
Yeah, that's blue collar Big Ten NBA basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Big Ten country.
That's the Wally Waukesha special right there.
Yeah, Indiana does play like it too. I mean, Indiana's they're a good team.
No, they are. They definitely are. I don't think they want to see Detroit in the first round. Actually, I'll take that back. You know,
Detroit's.
You know who doesn't want to see Detroit in the first round is the Raptors.
Yeah.
That to me, with Dwayne Casey, that storyline.
Yeah.
That would be...
No, I mean, the Raptors would win that series easily.
But how on brand would it be of the Raptors, though, given their history as a franchise?
Yeah.
Who is about as tormented as the Bucks?
The thing about the Raptors is they're literally playing, like, every third game without Kawhi.
Yeah, it's weird, so, man. It's weird that Kawhi just has to keep resting.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of an underrated...
I mean, if they had him yesterday or Sunday, they'd probably win.
Right. It's an underrated storyline of the season, right? Of, like, why are they... What's going on that Kawhi still is, like... getting rested on a regular basis. I think it's because there's so much other shit to talk about. The whole Kyrie. I mean, when Boston and LA, two of the tentpole top tier franchises in your sport, are having such drama. Trouble. Where
well,
it's
and I was
going to
say
today.
Too, like Toronto. As soon as you go north, like Toronto gets completely ignored by the United States.
It's, right, and so it's like we don't really need to talk about the fact that it's still kind of weird that Kawhi is still resting this much.
Yeah.
But I think it should be talked about a little bit more.
Yeah. And, it, you know, again, it would be if he was with San Antonio.
Right.
Still, probably. If they would have never made that trade and he was back and then rested every other game or something, it'd be probably a big story. But you're right with the Kyrie and LeBron situations and just they get buried.
Yep. The occasional James Harden, the occasional Trae Young getting kicked out of a game for staring down Chris Dunn. That was about as soft as baby shit.
Holy yeah. Shit. I couldn't tell what happened on the little clip I saw.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing.
Nothing. He stared him down. He stared him down.
And ejected him.
The refs threw him out.
A straight red card?
If Giannis, did that happen to Giannis, I would be.
Oh, there'd be a riot.
I'd have a rant on Instagram that would probably go viral.
That would be, oh my God, if that was at home too, like.
Yeah.
I don't think those refs would make it.
We saw some bad officiating out west. That LA game was, and the Sacramento game were both just dog shit officiating.
I don't know. I don't remember that, but
it's fine. It's you know, it's my brand to complain about officials.
So I know, and I'm like that too sometimes with the Bucks. I'm a little more passionate than than with our other teams in terms. Well. Baseball sometimes.
Yeah, but it's baseball though. The strike zone, just you never know what you're.
Did you hear
get.
That they're gonna test out robo umps in the independent league this year?
No, but that's awesome.
Apparently, heard that on News and Notes on Hot Stove Weekly on the way in.
Oh, you bet.
That the MLB is like funding it.
Oh, really?
To try it out in the independent leagues.
I'm sure the actual umpires are thrilled about that.
Yeah,
they're taking our jobs.
Yep.
Anyways. Speaking of jobs, there were a bunch of guys in Indianapolis looking for their next job at the NFL Combine. A
bunch of guys getting asked goofy questions.
Wearing spandex all over the place.
We got fat guys running 40s.
No dicks popped out this time. that happened to Chris Jones, now of the Kansas City Chiefs, but was a Mississippi State lineman. So it was an interesting week for the Packer, kind of the people who the Packers were paying attention to. You know, Brian Burns, who's been a name that's been thrown around by a lot of people as an edge rusher, he runs a 4.5 40, and now it looks like they're
he's going top 10
yeah,
now,
exactly.
Probably, right?
Yeah, there's probably
it's amazing how much the combine just like affects mock drafts and like guys just shoot up. Shoot down.
Ja'Kai Polite.
Some guy says a stupid thing like him.
Yeah, Polite. And, well, Ross Ogallum of Cheesehead TV defended what he said and said, look, he was just being brutally honest with everybody.
Yeah.
But part of the problem was his combine scores were trash.
Yeah.
So that's the worst case scenario.
He's the one who bitched about how the Packers or whatever showed him plays shit he did wrong or something, and he was like, why are you showing me stuff I did wrong? That's him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's being honest. I don't know.
But it's like, okay, well, if you can't handle that, like you just, to me,
yeah.
I hear that and I'm like, well, it's another Damaris Randall.
Yeah, yeah, it could be you don't handle adversity well.
Exactly. And so
you get benched, how are you going to react? You
right,
leave the game.
Exactly. And you had Noah Fant, not related to Mike, run a 4.5 40 as a tight end, which is absurd, 4.56. And then Ed Oliver saying that he'd want to play linebacker. Now I think there's a lot of, we don't know. We don't know what to do with Ed Oliver. We don't know what to do with Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. What are they, defensive ends in a 4.3? Are they 3.4s in a... Are they linebackers in a 3-4? Seems like a kind of a big risk.
Aren't they bigger guys though? Like
yeah, they are.
I mean, you know, this day and age, you get an outside linebacker, they're looking at 250 tops.
Right, exactly. I don't know if they're
some.
I
guess some guys are 260, 270, right? But
yeah, they probably would need to cut a little weight. And I think I think that's not a risk that I would want the Packers to take. I love Ed Oliver. I think
Wasn't there a guy with the Packers in the last couple of years who did that? What was his name?
I mean, Aaron Kampman did it, and that did not work out well.
It wasn't Brad Jones. It was one of those guys around that time, though. God, I can't think of it. Well, Dayton Jones kind of did that, too.
Yeah, Dayton Jones did that. That was a disaster.
Yep.
And so I think I do think Ed Oliver is a type of freak athlete that could make it work. I'm not sure about Rashawn Gary.
Don't you like Ed Oliver as like a defensive end in a 3-4?
I mean, I think if Ed Oliver is a hybrid where he's sometimes down as a 3 and he's up as a 4 and you just kind of rotate him around the way the Packers have done it with Capers and Pettine both rotate,
yeah,
I can get down with that. And if you could tell me that Rashawn Gary is going to be that same type of player, go ahead. But
Rashawn Gary also played in a great defense.
Right. And he played in a 3-4. Mm-hmm. So he played for a 3-4 with Michigan. And yeah, he comes from a pedigree of, you know, some people thought at the beginning of this that he was going to be a top 10 pick. And he's now kind of fallen a little bit because they don't know where he fits. And mm-hmm. other guys, you know, like Burns, Montez Sweat's another one who performed better than I think anyone expected him to.
Yeah, he shot up to like the mid first, right?
Right. And people get super excited about guys who just go fast. And that can.
I think former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson said he wanted Sweat.
Okay.
At 12.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that might be a little high.
He was there too. So, I mean.
I made.
I don't know how close you get to guys doing 40s. I mean,
if Gutekunst can trade down to like, say, 15 to get Sweat. And get another like second-round pick in the mix.
Yeah, where do you stand on that? I mean, because for so long we've complained about talent and all that, and the Packers definitely lack talent on defense.
I think it would draw. So if the Packers make some moves in free agency, so
I think at some point you have to make your pick.
I'm going to give you an important preface here. If the Packers, someone suggested this to one of the Packer Twitter writers, so I'm taking this. It might have been Algum too. He does a good job, Ross Algum. He talks a lot about NDSU though, so if you got to balance it. He wears both hats. I give him credit. He's a hustler. But anyways, someone asked him, like, if the Raiders offered you the 24th and 27th for the 12th pick, and he was like, if 5 of these guys aren't available, I absolutely do that. If you have 3 picks in the top first round, I think you have to do that. I mean, that you can build.
So you'd
a
have
team.
24, 27, and 30.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
3 first round picks. You put it that way.
You have to look at it like 3 first round picks. You can't look at the numbers. You have to look at. You have 3 guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you can turn 1 into or 2 into 3. It's not so bad.
You do it. I mean, but the question is like, I think you have to, I think there's a list of guys where you're like, if he's not here.
Then maybe you can select a quarterback.
Right. And like, if so,
I'm half joking.
If somebody, they shouldn't get a quarterback that early. If someone were to fall in the like edge rusher category and then they're at 8 or 9, I think what hurts the Packers is 8 is the perfect spot for them to move up, and that's where the fucking Lions are. I think that really affects sort of where it is, because the Lions are in a perfect spot for them to like move up. That's where I think that, so the Packers might have to overpay to like get up to 7 or and 9. You have to, all right, the Lions have already made this pick. Where are we going to go from here?
What do you think after the combine is now done? Like, what do you think their biggest need is on the defensive side of the, like, would you go edge?
Oh, so it's, I'm glad you brought that up,
because it sounds like Clay's gone.
There's been a lot of free agent stuff rolling around because the franchise tags are like, this guy's getting the tag, this guy isn't getting the tag. Rumors are Justin Houston might get released. They haven't officially said it.
They want to trade him. Yeah. And if everybody knows you want to release him, what are you going to get for him?
Yeah, you've shown
like
your cards.
Fucking six round pick or
and
something?
And then you put it together and it's like, okay, Justin Houston's coach is now our offense outside linebackers coach. He's probably not going to cost a bunch because he's had some injury issues and he's been banged up a little bit, but he can still get off the ball. And if he likes his outside linebacker coach, then let's go instead of trading for Dee Ford, which was another rumor. I don't want to give up a bunch of picks.
Now, he got franchised, though, right?
Right, exactly. But there was rumors they still might want to trade him, even as a franchise tag. But then also, too, you have Landon Collins, who there was an Instagram interaction, shall we say, with Ha Ha Clinton Dix, former Packer, saying, you're going to love the green and gold, man. So is that already
Ha Ha said that to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of, a bunch of like the Packer Instagram pages picked that up. And
I believe it.
And so it's like, and there's a lot of people who say like,
how many years has he been in the league, Landon Collins? Couple?
5 or 6.
Okay, so he's right
but
in
he's
his
awesome.
Prime.
I mean, if they got Landon Collins in free agency, if the first day the Packers went out and paid Landon Collins a bunch of money, that's great. Then it's like, okay, it's go time. Now, like, yeah. Maybe try to get an edge, maybe try to get a veteran slot receiver, and then that's great.
Yeah, do you feel better about Gutekunst's prospects of free agency and everything now that he's got kind of a year to
yes.
get his feet wet?
100%.
Because he didn't do a whole lot last year.
I think they're going to drop bags. I really do. I think they're going to go crazy.
They finally burned some of that money.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go like super crazy, but I think you're going to see some moves being made right away.
I mean, they're so deprived of talent that
well,
on defense.
I just think they learned their lesson in a couple ways. I think they tried to get under the radar on Kyle Fuller. It didn't work. They tried. They didn't get it. They wanted Allen Robinson for a little while. It didn't work. And was Allen Robinson last year?
Yeah. Went to the Bears.
Yeah, right? I went to the Bears. And I think he wanted...
He's good. He's a good player.
Yeah, and I think he wanted a bigger city. I just don't think he wanted to be in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, especially coming off 2 9-loss seasons.
Yeah, you're really going to have to sell it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to say, look, Aaron's all in. Like, I think it's easier to sell an offensive player to go to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I get to play with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah. I think it's funny, too, because you hear about people saying the Packers are so dysfunctional and all that, and it's like, I don't know if they're really that dysfunctional. I mean, two down seasons, and it's like, you know, people act like they were 2-14.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you get a little better Aaron Rodgers, hopefully. Hopefully not worse, because then you're in trouble.
You know, I kind of like the fact that, like, Danica is, like, a huge, like, CrossFitter. Like, I follow her on Instagram now, and she, like, posts
her workouts.
She's
getting his fat ass in shape, you think?
Hell yeah, dude. I'm like, I mean, that's how sick my brain is.
Like, the dad bod is going to be
gone.
Yeah,
I've totally fucking spin-zoned myself into being like, God, he's going to come into such great shape. It's going to be good. Like, we'll be fine. Like, don't worry.
Unlike that terrible person, Olivia Munn, he's actually got an old lady that cares about him.
Olivia wasn't terrible. She just we knew she was a sexual freak if you do any Googling, and that was probably all the workout he was getting was just beating cheeks.
Yeah, pretty
so,
much.
So you know,
pregame edition.
You gotta be careful on that. They say like boxers, like they always are, like you can't ejaculate before like a big fight.
Yeah,
because you lose your testosterone.
I was gonna say, yeah, you
gotta be careful.
Come back down to earth.
You gotta be, yeah, that post nut clarity, buddy. You can't. you gotta keep your nuts in before
exactly.
before I was about to say before the podcast. You
gotta, well, that too.
Yeah. I did want to touch on, we were talking about workouts, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention DK Metcalf.
Oh yeah.
That guy is the definition of a workout warrior.
Biggest one since like Vernon Golston, you think?
Yeah, some guy got on one of our Facebook posts, and he was like, I paid for it, and he was like, he's the next coming of Sterling Sharp. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Are you serious? This guy couldn't even crack 1,000 yards for an Ole Miss team, and all he did was throw around the football.
Yeah.
I get he had a neck injury, but at some point, you got to, like, show it on the field.
Well, and look at, like, Laquon Treadwell. I mean,
yeah.
Ole Miss as well. Not a good receiver. Last year.
I'd rather have A.J. Brown. I don't think he came out. I think he's coming back for another year. But A.J. Brown is a hell of an athlete for them, and he's been a legit 1,000-yard receiver.
What about the Oklahoma receiver?
I don't like the Lisfranc injury. Marquise Brown, Hollywood. Yeah. Murph loves him. He has a Lisfranc injury, which is that foot injury that I think you know, you're familiar with it. I don't like that at all. He's only 165 pounds, too. I mean,
Oklahoma and their little guys. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's Antonio Brown's cousin, so whatever.
Oh, boy.
And also, too.
So he has all the right people around him, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Do you really want
Antonio Brown in his ear?
Antonio Brown. I'm so glad.
With the blonde mustache.
That blonde mustache looks awful. PFT said it looks like CPO3 finished on him. I mean, it's how it looks. Did you see the video of him doing the cameo? You know what cameo is?
No, I saw something about it. Just
where he was like reading. He just, oh, it was bad. Whoever's advising Antonio Brown, just stop. Like he needs new representation.
Well, there's got to be a receiver in the NFL that makes headlines for the wrong reason. It's been literally. I mean, my earliest memories were Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, give me the damn ball.
of, you know, diva receivers, and you know, it's been Odell Beckham for last off season.
I think he got a bad rap most of the time.
Yeah.
He goes on one boat and then he gets his ass kicked by Packers, which is still great. Legendary shit by Odell to go on that boat halfway through the week and probably just fucking Instagram thoughts and then just get their asses handed to him up in Green Bay with the Hail Mary to boot.
That was a halftime Hail Mary or something.
Yeah, it was a halftime Hail Mary.
Kyler Murray going number one overall now, you think?
Oh, man,
he shows up,
like
he measures at 5'10", which is two inches taller than everybody else.
Everyone's like, woo.
Yep.
They had a little steep climb.
Now it's like, oh, Russell Wilson's 5'10", and Russell Wilson's like on a Hall of Fame trajectory. So
if I were the Raiders, I would trade for Josh Rosen. That's what I would do if I that's the team. I know they want Kyler Murray.
You're trading my guy. Getting rid of Derek Carr?
No, I think you keep Derek Carr. You groom Rosen. I don't know if Rosen's personality would work well with Gruden, because he just seems like one of those guys where he
kind of needs to have things his way.
Yeah, he's kind of a Cutler-ish guy where he's very much like, I'm the smartest guy in the room, and you can't tell me differently.
Yeah.
And so I don't know
how
that would work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Gruden works in general. So
right. I mean, if I'm Denver, I might get Rosen.
I honestly don't know if Arizona's actually going to. I think that they're going to drum up as much as they can to get what they can for the number one pick.
And see if the Raiders will trade him.
See if the Raiders will bite or Denver bites. John Elway kind of gets desperate. I could see that.
Gruden definitely is, you know.
But I don't know. Derek Carr is still kind of.
I know. I know.
He's got
Gruden,
hopefully a couple good years.
Gruden's infatuated with Murray. That's the rumor. That was the anyone who could hear it is that he's infatuated with Murray. Hmm. I'm just saying that.
So he could play for the A's and the Raiders. There you go.
Maybe
he can pull a Deion.
Nah, I don't think they'd want him to do that as a quarterback.
Nah, probably not.
So, and I don't think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's ever the two sport thing. Only like works for like DBs and wide receivers. Deion, basically.
There you go.
You're a class act, Deion.
You're a real man, Deion. I'll say that.
Oh, is that it? You're a real man.
Yeah.
Tim McCarver, what an asshole. I'm happy. If I saw Tim McCarver, I'd be like, you know, Tim, I'm happy you got a beer poured on you by Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone did that today, like just. Straight, like sometimes you'll see like media members get beers poured on them in like celebration because suddenly they're not big J's anymore and they can just celebrate with the team.
Yeah. They're not trying to, you know, all that. And then you have the players who just, you know, completely break down their own walls and are like, you know, oh, you've been with us all year. Like,
You're part of the team.
Yeah.
I would love to see like someone like do the McCarver style in today's media and just see the overreactions and just, oh my God, it would be so amazing. The pearls that would be clutched by journalists would be next level.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of celebrations.
Speaking of baseball celebrations.
Yeah. The Milwaukee Brewers. So Jonah Carey. Famed baseball writer, now with The Athletic. That was a good pickup by The Athletic, by the way. He has wrote over-under columns last couple of years, and he's really not been wrong. He's like 15-1 in his last 2 years. And he's been a guy who's been – he's analytically
driven. So he only does a few teams?
Yeah. He picks his favorite bets. Okay, and one of his favorite bets this year is the Brewers under 88 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coincidentally enough, he has the over for the Cincinnati Reds is another one of his best bets.
Well, what's there is like
77.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about the Brewers is like, I probably would tend to agree with Jonah Carey just because the division's going to be so hard.
Carey's whole point was that the Brewers got really lucky last year. They had a bunch of runs saved.
That was my fear.
There's so many variables about the Brewers this year that can they repeat and do everything that they did last year?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's – and I think when I read it from Carey, and I think Carey's one of the smarter baseball writers out there, I really took a step back and said, okay. And we've talked about leveling expectations. But you really do have to like take all of this into consideration. And I don't think you're being a pessimist by worrying about this season as a fan. Because you're going to need something. Something's not going to go right. Whether it's the starting pitching, whether the bullpen is not the same, whether you...
Well, that's probably the most scary, I think, the bullpen.
Oh, 100%.
Just because bullpens can be so...
It's erratic.
I mean, and relievers are just so bad in general
right.
that, like, it's just such a volatile situation. Like, a guy can miss a pitch by an inch and it's a home run. And it's like, you know, relievers are so unsure, except for Hader. I mean, they're all pretty unsure of themselves.
Right, exactly. And it's like, it's one bad.
But at the same time, do you really think the Brewers' offense is going to be anywhere near as bad as it was last year? I mean, the Brewers' offense is going to be better.
Well, that's the counter. I guess that would be your counter
argument.
That's
like, that's your X factor.
That's your counter argument to carry is like, okay, sure.
I mean, one through eight, you're pretty stacked.
Right. Maybe the Brewers lineup, or I'm sorry, maybe the Brewers rotation, maybe their bullpen isn't as good, but they don't need to rely on them as much.
But will the offense
be able to outslug and be able to put up 5 to 6 runs a game where it might not matter.
Yeah.
And they're putting up 12, and maybe even the pitching staff gave up 6 runs, but it doesn't matter because they scored 12. And they outscored him and they outslugged him.
Yeah, I think Grandal is huge because now you're going to add like a 7 spot in the lineup. Instead of Manny Pena hitting 230, it's going to be Grandal hitting 250, 260, and probably damn near 30 home runs.
And a guy who hit 25 home runs in a pitcher-friendly ballpark.
Right, so maybe he gets 30, 35.
Porch. He gets a short porch and left when he's on the left, you know, switch hitting.
And obviously the analytics love him, too, to help the
pitch framer, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I like how we've sort of circled back here and almost talked ourselves now into the over. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, I think...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's 88, that's about right where I'd put him, yeah, probably, for wins.
Exactly. And
so, if I had to pick one, I probably would say I'd feel safer saying 87 is... but. I don't know if that gets a playoff spot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a gauntlet of an NL. I mean, the NL is... I think this is a really fun baseball year. I know everybody's like, oh, the tanking. And it's like, yeah, that's true for a couple teams. But if you look at...
See, but the season's so long. It's like, you're going to have an occasional series where a tanking, quote-unquote tanking team, you know, wins the series. Or,
yeah.
Or, you know.
And if you go through each division, you know, it's like we have at least... Two to four at most that are at least contending for a title.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, what's to say that the White Sox, even though they didn't get Machado, what's to say the White Sox don't come up and be sneaky this year and kind of have what the Braves had last year?
Yeah.
Where they're in the mix. Or the Padres really get that boost of Machado and they finally become relevant again. And they're contending for a wild card spot.
And
the West won't be the as
good. Because Arizona and San Fran will probably be down.
Right, exactly.
Colorado, every year you think they're going to win 80 games, and they win like 88.
They're like the better version of the Pirates.
There's so many of those. There's like the same team in that. It's like the Dodgers, and then it's 4 teams in the West that are like, one of them overachieves.
Yep.
Another,
one
like,
of them underachieves.
Between Colorado and Arizona, they flip-flop years when they make the wild card. And like one of them overachieves, one of them underachieves. Arizona still has Greinke.
Yep. Who I think
they might trade.
Yeah, he'll be on the block for sure.
Well, here we go.
That's going to be an interesting Greinke and Baumgartner.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, yeah. Look, the money, you got to figure out how to deal with his contract. He has a massive deal.
Yeah.
You have to figure
that's
out
right. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, it was longer than that, buddy. But
a couple months ago, maybe.
We did talk about it. And we have.
I hit you with the facts, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's like 30-some million a year.
I like slowly step back from that.
Yeah, it's Steph Curry money.
Yeah, it's not good. But I think right now you have a fun baseball year. I think the fact that the Vegas over-under with the Cubs is 93 and Pecota has them at 80, that tells me they have no idea what this Cubs season is going to be like.
Oh.
And if you want to have like – and maybe it's me, maybe it's hopeful optimism.
Well, if you ask Bob Nightingale, what's the over-under, like 100?
Bob can suck my dick. what I was going to say was, if you want to, like, and maybe this is wishful thinking because I'm a Brewers fan, but if you wanted to have who's most likely to emulate the Celtics and the Lakers of baseball, who's that next storyline? It's the Cubs.
Yeah.
It's no question about it, is it the Cubs? Because it's like, how many years of Joe Madden shit before everyone's just like, you know what, fuck this.
Or the Phillies.
Yeah, but...
you got Harper.
Yeah, they have added a ton.
Gabe Kapler, who fans hate.
They've added a ton of guys, and the Bryce hype is real. Like,
oh, yeah.
Did you see the stats from that he outsold LeBron on Fanatics for jerseys and
I
stuff
did see
like
that, yep.
It's like crazy. And I wrote about this last week, Snowtap WI, it's a website. you know, Milwaukee and Philadelphia could have a real city-to-city rivalry for, like, the next 10 years. Everyone wants to crown the Phillies, and I'm like, they're in a tough division. Mets got better. The Braves have as much young talent as anybody. Acuna could be an MVP candidate this year. The Nationals' over-under projection was 89 without Harper, and you have that whole Philly-Washington rivalry that's going to be very real. They added Patrick Corbin early in the – and now you have Corbin, Scherzer, and Strasburg. That's a fucking awesome rotation.
Harper going to the Phillies is almost Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
Not quite because it's Red Sox-Yankees, but
I mean,
Nats and Phillies are pretty geographically close.
Right, yeah. Philly and Washington, you know, hate each other in football with the Redskins and the Eagles. They hate each other in hockey with the Flyers and the Capitals. They've had a long, long time rivalry. So it's natural that now you've moved to baseball. The only real one that isn't really that real is their basketball rivalry. They don't have one.
Right.
And also, too, Villanova and Georgetown, if you're going to college. That's a real rivalry as well. So you have those built-in rivalries where these fan bases, if they don't hate each other in one sport, they hate them in another sport. And now baseball has just got turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And their first, whatever the first Phillies Nationals game.
Because I remember
in Washington's a must-see TV.
2008, 2009, when the Phillies were really good and the Nats were not good.
Yeah.
I mean, that was half full of Phillies fans down in Nationals Park.
Right.
It's almost Cubs Brewers.
I don't think it'll be like the John Tavares situation where they were calling him a snake and a cheater. I don't think it'll be the same thing. I think part of that was Tavares told the Islanders that he was gonna stay and that he said a lot of things that I'm sure he regrets. And that led, and Islanders fans are also fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of Long Island I don't know what the word.
Bros.
Guido's.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that was a fascinating storyline. I don't know. Maybe it's only fascinating because I've followed it through the lens of Barstool, but anything that'll get me a little excited about hockey can go. So,
yeah.
We'll be back. I don't know if you're playing us off. I don't have my headphones on.
Yeah.
You are. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week.
That was perfect.
Conference tournament time. Badgers, Marquette both have a couple games left before that. Can Marquette not piss away
rebound.
Big East title?
Rebound. We'll piss away Big East. Let's not do that. Badgers are still fighting, too.
Yep.
How close are they hanging around for the Big Ten?
They probably won't win it, but they're looking at trying to get that double bye, which they should get. They are the fourth seed. They play an Iowa team without Fran McCaffrey after telling the ref he was a cheating motherfucker and you're a fucking disgrace. And that got old Fran a two-game suspension. And then they play Ohio State, who their best player got suspended indefinitely. So looking good for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Marquette, I don't know right now. Seton Hall game tonight's very big for a lot of my confidence.
It's a feel good win.
Yes, they need a big one tonight. So, all right, we'll talk next week. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care. Have a good one.
Peace.